Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here at the Chuck and Julie Show.
Truth straight up,
which is harder and harder to find.
You can find it right here
on the Fox Channel. Good luck.
Hey, want to say the show brought to you as always by Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallum, and also ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website, particularly this day and age, where, you know, when you want to get the truth straight up. A lot going on today. At 3:30, the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Dr. Brian Junedep on. He's been monitoring and can keep us abreast of all the various challenges and things going on with the president and challenging some of the what I believe to be corrupt Democrat voter fraud. But want to start off with?
Well, I want to start off with our good friend George Brockler, the DA for the 18th Judicial District. He's retiring; he's term limited. George, maybe you could bring us up to date about
the election
for a successor and whatever future plans you have when you grow up.
First, thanks for having me on.
Great.
You guys were on the radio and had me on. This is pretty cool too. Now I get to see you.
Yeah,
this is without question the closest race in Colorado, and on maybe 525,000 votes cast, about 1,500 votes separate the two candidates right now, which is ridiculously close. We're in a period right now called the cure period, where ballots that were submitted, but somehow one of the clerks said, hey, the signatures don't match or something. Those notices get sent out to those people, and they have until I think it's Thursday to get those cured. And so, as you can imagine, both campaigns are kind of furiously trying to get people to turn in their ballots. Now, anecdotally, and this is interesting, because of all the talk of the potential corruption with the election and the narrative that the president had been pushing early on about the potential corruption for mail-in, one of the things I've heard from at least John's side is that a lot of folks are reaching out. And when they get someone on the phone, which is hard enough, many times people are like, you're scamming me. I already voted. You're trying to.
Oh, wow.
Like that. So it'll be interesting to see how much either one of them can move the needle on that. But my sense is by Friday, we'll know, because all the overseas and military ballots will have to have been in by Thursday. By Friday, we will know. And if they're within that 0.5% of the victor's margin or victor's vote total, automatic recount, but it's a machine recount. And I've been told maybe 10 votes change hands, but if there is still a 1,000 or 1,500 vote gap the way there is now, it looks like John Kellner is going to be the next district attorney for this judicial district. And I'm going to go out and tell you, he'll be the very last Republican in the 18th judicial district, because we're carving up the district and it's just going to be Arapahoe only in 4 years. No Republican's going to win that.
Oh, my goodness. So this is that. Well, you know, let me, because I wanted to talk to you about this. There's so many things to talk to you about. And thank you so much. But here's what I think that is crucial. I mean, you look at what's happened. You've had for years, way before Donald Trump entered the scene, you've got George Soros backed candidates. We saw it happening in Jefferson County a couple of election cycles ago. Right. And you're like, why is George Soros playing in Jefferson County district attorney politics? Well, it all comes down to what they call criminal justice reform and bail bond reform and things like that, which I firmly believe has a lot to do with the increase in crime across the metropolitan area in Colorado, which is why it's so important to have Republicans as prosecutors. But your thoughts on that?
Well, 4 years ago, maybe 3 weeks before the election, so as the ballots were dropping, George Soros came in and dropped about $1.2 million on top of Pete Weir, who's the incumbent DA out there. And he'd done that in about 11 races across the country. And only two of those DAs survived that droppage of money. Pete was one of them. And I think what the super progressives have figured out is that they can fight these every 2 year battles to regain a stronger foothold in legislatures to try to change the law, or they can just change out the decision maker on how the law gets used and accomplish everything they want just that way. And I think that's why you see San Francisco, now L.A., you see that George Guest has moved on back down to L.A. and taken over that office. you're going to see this moving forward more and more. It's interesting that in the metro area now, we're on the verge. Let's say John doesn't pull this off, and I think he will. Every single DA's office in the metro area will have now been converted to a Democrat and somebody who ran on a criminal justice reform, social justice reform platform. That'll be super interesting moving forward. I think John's going to win. I think he'll be the lone Republican in the metro area for the next 4 years.
Is the DA for Douglas County a Democrat?
Well,
part of the 18th. That's right.
And I think this makes the effort to create the 23rd, this vote tally, seem all that much more prescient, because in 4 years, Douglas County, Elbert County, Lincoln County aren't going to have to worry about some super lefty Democrat progressive coming in and taking over the DA's office. They're going to get somebody that lives down here, has these values down here, and they're going to get to elect that person to be the DA. Now, I'm not saying it's going to have to be a Republican, but if it's a Democrat, it won't be one of those far left ones.
That won't be a Joe
Charles. Tell us about your own future plans, if you've gotten any more closer to it.
Well, I wish I could tell you that I had some plans, and I'm not being coy. I'd spent so much time, and I really thought the COVID was going to be sleepy time for the jurisdiction, but there were things like, George Floyd, Elijah McClain, protests, Jeeps driving down 225, all sorts of things that are going on. In the backdrop of all this is the surging crime and our inability to process it very efficiently through a system that has now shut down. We can't do trials now until January 18th of next year.
Right.
STEM got continued out until 2021. So a lot of those things have preoccupied me. I haven't been able to spend time on monster.com or do whatever I'm going to do to go.
Go daddy.
Some of it too was trying to see how did last Tuesday turn out? Because honestly, if the president found a way to get reelected, it created other potential opportunities out there for me. And I didn't want to pre-commit myself to something. And then this election between John and the Democrat opponent, that has an impact, too, on some decisions I might make. So I really don't know. I want to tell you that, everyone's been banging down my door saying, come here, come here, come here. But I don't think people really know what to do with me. what are we doing? Guys? Like top. Where do we put it? We're just going to smash into things.
Well, let me, and your wife is probably saying, here, I have a list of things that
sure, she can do.
You can be a stay-at-home dad. And I'm like, what? What about me? I should someone
stay-at-home. What about this? I mean, as a Republican, you've been a Republican candidate. And I mean, personally, and I'm not just saying this, I think, you would think you'd have a great future as a Republican candidate, except now you live in Colorado.
Yeah, but there's no great future for any
what are your thoughts on?
Well, it'll be a new, I think Colorado gets another district, so there'll be another congressional.
True.
That'll be open. And depending upon all the other seats and how they're all done by this election commission, who I'm sure the Democrats have figured out how to crook as they figure out how to crook.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope.
Oh, yeah, I promise you. I promise.
Otherwise,
you.
They wouldn't have your been pushing
friends,
it.
Your friends at Brownstein sat down and figured out how to crook it early on.
Otherwise, they never would have pushed for the way they did. But anyway, back to, your thoughts on, because we've had, and you know us, we've been critical of the Republican Party and the establishment Republican Party. But as somebody like you who's had to work with it and maybe looking at a potential, your thoughts on where are things going? Is there any hope?
Well, let's refine that and maybe make it a two-part question. I spent a week kind of with some version of something that seemed like COVID-19 and election depression. Down in a deep dark hole, and I didn't.
You're recovering in time for the Masters.
Yeah, the Masters. It's spring. It's springtime at the Masters, even if it's November.
Exactly.
But so the last few days, and I'm one of those people who's a kind of a geek, and so I study state legislative races throughout the country. North Carolina Court of Appeals, judicial races, and everything else.
My goodness.
Yeah. Then he asked me about him.
Then I asked Julie about him. What do you think about El Cerro? He's leading for the. They've got a 15-5 ratio in the Court of Appeals in North Carolina. But what shocked me so much is what a great, maybe the greatest, presidential election for a party that lost the presidency. Republicans were successful all across the country. All across the country. They won races like Corden won by 10, Lindsey Graham won by 10, McConnell won by 20, but not just those. Montana, the governor is now.
Somebody flipped in California, right?
They're flipped in California. Right. The races. And the 10 years, 10, 20, 30, are determined the future. We had the great Tea Party vote in 2010, and that really led to Republicans at times being successful because you control the redistricting races.
That's right.
There are 98 legislatures because of Nebraska.
Wait, do your question.
I'm getting my question. And so they're going to control redistricting. And therefore, Republicans will almost inevitably now win the 2022 House because assuming that Biden is able to cheat and win. Because whoever is in the presidential party, they tend almost automatically to lose. And because of redistricting, the Republicans' chances will be enormous. So it's in Colorado, it's bleak, but nationwide, Republicans had a great year.
It's so true, Chuck. We are such an anomaly. I mean, if you're just in Colorado and you're a Republican,
right.
Tuesday looked pretty blue, yes. You know, in both forms of that. But you look outside and what you see is that not, and by the way, the Democrats thought that this was going to be a gravy year for them, that they were going to hang Trump around every Republican's neck at every level, and it was going to drown them.
Right.
And they were going to sweep in and take legislative chambers in North Carolina, in Texas,
Florida.
In Florida. And despite the fact that between candidates and the Democrat legislative, whatever they are that spends, they spent probably $500 million.
Yeah.
On these races. Not only did they fail to flip a single chamber, they lost both chambers in New Hampshire.
Yes.
And as you pointed out, they lost the governorship in Montana and the senatorship in Montana for the first time in 16 years. So if you, like Chuck said, if you look everywhere, what you see is the groundwork laid for a 2022 that's going to be pretty favorable. To build off of what Chuck said too, on average in the modern era, the party in power loses about 30 seats during a midterm election. Party power in the White House. But if you look back historically from LBJ forward for Democrat first term midterms, they lose between 50 and 60 seats.
Wow.
And between 4 and 6 U.S. Senate seats. Now, we have more to defend in 2022 on the Senate side of things, but we could take back this Mark Kelly one from Arizona. It looks like this dude's going to end up eking out a victory by about 2%. And he's going to have to run again in 2 years because of the nature of that seat that he's in. All said and done, state legislatures that have the ability to influence redistricting, 175 seats will be drawn by Republicans, 47 will be drawn by Democrats. Pretty good numbers.
You're kind of shaking your head. Your head, you're saying, well, I was saying I was a little geeky about this stuff.
You're a little. Don't ask me about the North Carolina Supreme Court appellate court thing. Well, what about then? For what is it? I mean, this is something we talk about. What is it about Colorado? I mean, and actually, in a way, Lauren Boebert won. Cory Gardner, I don't think anybody expected him to win. You know, in the legislature, we did bad. But on the other hand, I don't think they made massive.
Bad. No, we did the same.
Right, we did the same, which is, you know, I mean, what do you make of the future of the Republican Party? And where should it go? Or do you have any?
And
or do you not
want to?
Yeah.
Why can the rest of the country have a great day? By and large, you know, except Colorado has a really depressing day.
We've had a couple things working against us here. And one of them, of course, is the Republican Party. But, you know, if you look at the legislative races, it was actually a good day for Republicans in Colorado that we didn't lose a single seat in the House net gain.
Right.
We only lost one in the Senate, which means that in 2022, we only have to pick up three to take back control of that chamber and really keep this progressive group from going off the rails the way you know they will over the next 2 years. And, you know, we won seats like Priola's seat. He has no business winning.
That's a different story. That's a different story of why he has no.
But still,
that's not. But Kevin's not our hero.
They spent a ton of money on that, though.
They did. You know, the Republican Party got caught flat-footed in everywhere. If you go all the way back to the blueprint, it just felt like, and I worry about this for my own Douglas County. That because you're everywhere and you win all the time, all you ever care about is the primary. and you stop thinking about needing to win a general election. And even though Democrats lost everywhere in Douglas County, those margins keep getting narrower and narrower. And I think one of the things that has happened over these last 20 years is we've seen the Republican Party become less and less important. It doesn't have money, which means it can't make a difference in the general. Its structure fluctuates in terms of the strength, but most of that strength takes place at the grassroots level, not at the top leadership level. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think I'm more encouraged by what I see from third party groups in terms of the ones that came out to help Priola and Rankin and fought for in little amounts, 116, 117 that passed. I think those are areas where we can win. I think the demographic shift that we've seen in Colorado makes it almost impossible to conceive in the short term of winning a big statewide race like U.S. Senator, Governor. Since Cory won in just 2014, since Cory,
yeah,
we have registered 1.8 million new voters. They ain't Republicans.
No.
You know what I mean? Not conservative. No. And so the influx of people who don't think like Coloradans and don't share those same values, they're changing our values and they're changing the way Colorado acts. You combine that with a very weak party at the moment, and it's just, it's ripe for failure. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, there's several other reasons. One is the utter cowardice of the Republican structure. Democrats, when they get out of power, like in North Carolina, they just sue. When you pass a law that says, you know, you have to have an open primary and you can only overturn it by a 75% vote of the central committee, clearly illegal, clearly wrong. Does the Republican Party do a thing about it? No. Have they done a thing about
campaign finance
saying, you know, only millionaires can be governors? as you found out how hard
that could be kind of fun.
If you had $24 million to spend, you probably done okay.
If I had $24 million to spend, Chuck, I ain't running for governor. I'm all I would anyone sign up for this brain damage if you had $24 million.
Exactly. And that's to spend, that's to throw around, right?
That's what you find in your couch.
Yeah.
And so it's the utter timidity of the Republican Party in not challenging things. And the third thing is our lousy billionaires. We have the world's worst Republican billionaires.
We only have one.
There's more than one billionaire.
Like two, maybe.
But they're all left-wing billionaires. I mean, you don't think of Phil as left-wing, but he is. Center left is where he really, in his heart of hearts, is. And same with what's his name up in Aspen, who owns the Examiner. I forget his billionaire name. but we don't have any regular raising money, as you found out, is almost impossible in the governor's race. It's just impossible.
I think one other thing that we might start to focus on are structural changes that could make a difference. A couple examples. I do think that we have to ask the question, why do we have partisan races for certain offices like sheriff or district attorney or attorney general or secretary of state or treasurer? Those, especially secretary of state and clerk and recorder,
yeah.
The idea that you partisan those things makes it very challenging from an optic standpoint. But if we could even get that far, just stripping off the R and the D, imagine what benefit that takes away from the Dems, who right now have figured out a way to mobilize a whole bunch of people, some of whom are just not high information voters who are willing to go
vote for the D.
Well, you take that away, now what?
I have to guess. Maybe that's like a multiple choice then. So, although the Democrats would probably find a way to crook that too. They put their names in blue or something like that.
I mean, you guys helped crook the election against Susan Beckman. You guys crooked it. You took in proxies. You allowed Ryan.
Wasn't George.
He was down there.
He's like,
that's all I did.
Let me finish this.
Okay, because we only have a few more minutes.
So, you know, before she joined the federal government, now she's got to be totally neutral. She sent me all the Democratic materials for her district. And it inspired me to want to see what the Republicans have up here, you know. So I came to PCP. And how they layered every household, how they identify who was in the household when they turned 18, the amount of organizational.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. So I said, well, what do we have?
You said the Democrat had the extraordinary information.
Yeah. What do we have up here for they said,
You have to buy it.
You know, from Americans for Prosperity. You personally can buy the, say, you know, for $10,000, I as a PCP could get their dated information. Now, I said, well, what materials do I have to hand out for candidates? None. Yeah. I'm the level where the Democrats.
I did get my neighbors to take a Trump sign, though.
Yeah. The level between, and part of the reasons, part of a strength of an organization is people, you just don't get them to register or not register. You've got to go out there. And that's what they did in the Republican Party in Florida.
Oh,
no, they did it in Florida. They did it in North Carolina.
Lauren Boebert did it.
The strength of an organization is how many people you get to register as Republicans. And there's no effort for that. Yeah. And so I don't know how you get in an organization without a billionaire coming in. But Republicans are so devoid of money and devoid of organization. It really isn't. And the Democrats laugh. They just laugh when I tell them about the demographics. And they kind of, it's all BS. No, I said, you know, it used to be that Republicans had an advantage of about 53% to 47%. They said that was about the demographics. It has changed about 3%. They say, really, the number of Republicans in the state of Republican leading are 50%, and the Democrats are 50%. But you have one of a Down syndrome of a party and an organization and donors, and you have others flooded with cash. They can spend, I mean, it's amazing how much money, so much money that floods into Republican primaries.
Yeah.
So that, you know, rhinos can win Republican seats in Weld County. They don't know what to do with all their money. And unless somehow Republicans figure out
in Colorado
how to move some billionaires and they can take over the party, we're happy to give it to them. It isn't a matter of demographics. It's changed a little bit, as they, you know, but they know. they're not guessing. They said it went from 53-40. And the only reason they got to take the state out is 53-47, because the Supreme Court of Colorado, you know, is absolutely corrupt and partisan.
He's going to wash it there.
No, he's about to get out.
Our next question for fun is going to be to ask you about all of the judges and what you think of them. Well, no, I'm kidding.
They are corrupt. They're partisanly corrupt. They took over the organization. Took over everything. And instead of suing those guys in federal court for the Democrat, we let them do it. Mm-hmm. We let them do the redistricting.
I would say this, though. To some extent, the demographic talk, I don't agree with the numbers, because if you look at the fastest growing population for registered, it's that younger group, and that younger group skews left. It just does. And we lost the education battle a while ago. But the other thing is, the fastest growing registered group is unaffiliated.
Because they register you automatically. If you register automatically, you don't choose. But here's the other one, because I have a real experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting young males out to vote. That's one of my expertises in life. And you wouldn't believe how pro-Republican they are. Now they're scared almost to say it, because they figure they won't get a day.
That explains the polling. Yeah.
But you know, this woke generation has ended the Democratic hold on males generally. I don't care if it's Latinos. I don't care if it's Blacks. I don't care if it's whites. It's all. So if the Republicans ever had an organization, they're going to, you know, where do we go down? Where do we go to softball leagues? Where do young men hang out, and how do we get it? Because that's where Democrats go. Well, let's go to the new immigration people coming in to the country and getting citizenship. Well, there's a Democratic person there to register people, not a Republican, just a Democrat. So
that's true at the ICE facility across the street. I've gone there to talk as the elected official. They're right there. People, there's no doubt about it.
So it's, well, it's, let me, it's amazing.
There's some hope, I guess. Maybe no.
Colorado,
we can remember. Let me just a final question. First, I want to thank you for coming on. Second, you're at 7:10 KNUS.
Oh yeah, get
morning Georgia. Show. Morning, great. You know, 6 to 9 in the mornings. You know what you got coming up for this Saturday? Folks want to listen in.
I never do, and I say that, you know, because of just how busy the week is. I'm usually about tomorrow and Friday thinking, world, do I like what I'd love to do is to have someone on from the Secretary of State's office to explain why there isn't fraud. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But I do think that's got to be part of the transparency and the narrative piece. If you're proud and you're confident in your election system, well, by God, come on the radio and just tell people why you are and dispel some of these things. Maybe they will. I'll reach out to them. And then, you know, I need to get back to get more callers because we've had so many guests the last few weeks leading up to the election, candidates and other stuff like that. Sure. Really want to get back to more conversations and see what we can't get. But that's 6 to 9 slot a.m. You guys don't know it because you had a much better slot. But 6 to 9 on a Saturday. Wow. At the 6 o'clock hour, you are either on the road for the wrong reasons, like you have someone in the trunk of your car or you're just you can't sleep or something. And then 7 to 8, it picks up. And then by the time I hand it off to Randy, my goodness, he's got it.
I know. Well, that's what we had.
Well, you do realize we did it from 6 to 9 on KOA for 5 years. And we were 6 to 9 on KNUS for 5 years.
And then Randy took over. And now you're, of course, now we're doing a podcast. Well, it'll be a great show. So listen, and George, thank you
Thanks
for your
so much,
time.
George. You're always
appreciate
great.
It.
You're always great. Appreciate
and
it.
Good luck to your candidate there. All right. Yeah. Thank you, George. All right. Thank you there.
Bye-bye.
You know, we got Brian Junedep coming up. I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening on Zoom, too. You know, I think that what you guys point out is something that, you know, and I'm glad Chuck kind of you woke up and then, you know, you've been back getting back to your election geekdom.
Well, I loved
George just rattled everything off.
He was great.
We've got Brian Junedep joining us now, a columnist. He's a freak. And I first want to start up by saying first, thank you, Brian. It's good to see you.
Yes, likewise.
And if you are going to be filling in for us on Monday.
Yay.
Yes.
So thank you for that. We're going to a wedding. We're going to brave the air.
We're going to Atlanta to take the 2 senatorial elections.
That's right.
Down there.
They asked us to come down there and count and help them count and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, help them count, please.
We're moving down there like the Democrats. We're going to register to vote.
We're going to register to vote,
get an absentee ballot, and then head back home.
And we're going to bring a bunch of absentee ballots back with us that we will then distribute at the grocery store for and then collect for everybody.
Yeah, we'll fill out and then just send them back. That's easy.
There we go. So what's, you know, you're one of the guys and you've been saying on our show, and initially I was depressed and I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know that Trump could pull it off. But you've been saying from the beginning, well, of the beginning of the end of the election, that Trump is the kind of guy who has a plan. He knows how to implement a plan. And Trump was, you know, not surprised by this and is fighting it. And it looks like every day, I mean, even some of the mainstream media organizations, of course, are going to, you know, they cut away from Kayleigh McEnany right away.
But at least
they have her holding stuff up at some point. I mean, I don't know. I am now more hopeful than I was before. What do you make of everything?
I remain hopeful simply because Trump doesn't lose. If you look at since he came down the escalator at Trump Tower in June of 2015, everything that's been thrown at him, from Access Hollywood to Stormy to Avenatti to Michael Cohen to Scaramucci to impeachment and Mueller and you name it, he's come out on top. He knew this was coming. He's spoken of election fraud. He's spoken of the dangers of mail-in ballots. He's been talking about this for months now. So for him to be caught flat-footed, this is not some minor, you know, legislation that he wants to get passed that gets stymied by Pelosi. This is his career right now. This is his re-election. This is the most important thing of all.
Right.
And I can't see him getting caught flat-footed. He had to know this was coming and have gamed it out. That's
one thing, the good about Trump. Now, the Republicans, including those in Colorado, they spend their time figuring out gracious concession speeches. I mean,
that's what they specialize.
They spend hours on that. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're Cory Gardner or you're a gubernatorial candidate. You just spend all your time figuring out a gracious concession speech. Trump doesn't spend any time doing that. And he's good. They're going to have to grind his face into the pavement. And even then, he won't give up.
Well, what did Red State, they were tweeting today. It's like, oh, so what's going to happen if Trump doesn't concede? They're going to be mean to him? It's like, you know, they hate him. I mean, how could they hate Trump more?
You're going to call him a bad name. Oh, right. No.
They're going to call him Orange Man or
they're
something.
They're going to call him Orange Man, and they aren't going to like his policies. I mean, I agree. It's, and plus, you're starting to see, I think, a little bit of momentum. I know we're going to have Randy Corbin on Friday. They're now saying a lot of questions are coming out about this Dominion, which is the company that did the that handled the software for the vote counting in most of the states, right? A lot of questions coming up about that.
Yeah, and who's involved? Pelosi, Feinstein, you know, you some prominent Democrats are involved in this company.
Right. Well, but the Brownstein
could be right from there.
The Brownstein, the Denver-based Brownstein law firm, is their lobbyist. And, oh, you know, Brownstein, they would never crook. I mean, that's their job. They're paid crookers. That's what they're supposed to do. They would never say, go back to Mayor Hancock. Oh, Mayor Hancock, you should have never messed around at Players and Sugars. We're just going to have to concede the mayoral race. They're like, no. They buried in the Denver Post. They get rid of anybody. I mean, so the fact that this company is like represented by the Brownstein,
well,
right,
has the head of it an Antifa guy, or their experts an Antifa guy. Their lobbying firm is Brownstein, but they're on the up and up. Oh yeah, sure.
And that's not even with
sure
them.
They are. Sure they are.
No, that's. I think a lot of things are going to come into play. Georgia's doing a recount now. North Carolina, I believe, has been called for Trump. It's really going to be Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona. Let's see how these play out. Arizona keeps tightening, but there's so much scandal in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Affidavits. They've got hundreds of affidavits now of people that have witnessed fraud. And they say, oh, there's no evidence. Jake Tapper and Stokes, right, and these other clowns say, oh, show us the evidence. Well, it's there. They
right.
can't just, you know, parade these people on TV because they're going to get doxxed and destroyed. This is a legal proceeding going on now, and they have to give them some protection. But the evidence is coming out. They're making the case. They have to do it methodically. They can't do anything by saying, yeah, somebody told me, and or I saw it on Twitter. They've
right.
got
to legally. What's interesting in the Georgia case, it is just not recounting, which really won't make much of a difference. It's recanvassing. Recanvassing, you look at a vote and say, is that person dead?
Right.
It's a top to bottom process, and it's going to be run by a somewhat inept Republican, but nonetheless a Republican.
Corey
that
Gardner
one
will go down, oversee it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So that one's going to be very interesting because the recanvassing really is a whole different genre of recount.
And you look at the amount of effort they're putting in. So number one, they all go and they declare Trump the winner right before anybody can say anything about
Biden the winner.
I'm sorry. And so then, boom, they launch their narrative. And they immediately beforehand were setting the stage for Trump will never concede, right? They got Brennan now saying we need to figure out how to get Trump out of the White House. So they set this. They keep saying there's no evidence. Just like with Russia, they said there's all this evidence. There was none. Well, this is the flip of that. Now they're saying there's no evidence. And, you know, and again, Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, you've got these lawyers who keep waving the evidence around. And they try to ignore it. But I think, I don't know how it's going to come out, but I think there are 70 million Trump supporters, like 80% of whom believe that the election was stolen. I mean, you can't just tell us to keep sitting down and shutting up. They can't. But I think people are not listening.
This has been planned out and orchestrated. They've been talking about this. They've set the narrative about Trump not conceding. Everything was just too pat. Trump was leading in all these states, and then at midnight on election night, they stopped counting.
Yeah.
They didn't stop counting in California or Louisiana or New Jersey or Connecticut, Arkansas. It was these swing states where they needed to get over the line, and they had to quickly figure out how many votes they needed.
Right.
And there's talk of software that does this.
Yes.
Hammer and scorecard that I've heard spoken about. And these are, you know, NSA tools. So, yeah, can I verify it? Fat chance. I'm going to
walk
into their meeting and say, you know, show me.
The glitches that, I mean, where it's the glitches, the software glitches that erased the Trump votes and gave them to Biden. I mean, that's not a glitch. If it's a glitch, it would go both ways. Sidney Powell coming out with, I mean, and Sidney Powell, I think, is not the kind of person who's going to jump into something that she doesn't think is credible.
Or Lynn Wood.
Or Lynn Wood. Yeah. And they both talk about hundreds of thousands of ballots that came in that were just for Joe Biden.
But none of the other way.
None of the other damn candidates.
None of the other way. In Georgia, there are virtually no just Trump supporters, and there were over 100,000 just Biden.
Yeah, and that defies. There's statistics that show that maybe 10% drop off after the, you know, the top of the ticket.
Right.
So maybe you'll have 10% that are president only, and you'll have 20% that are president and Congress. And, you know, the further you go, the more attrition you have. But to have all of these with just Biden and have turnout.
Right.
You have cities that have 90%+ turnout. That's never happened. And if you look at comparable cities that have 50% to 60% turnout, it doesn't make sense. It defies common sense. It defies statistics.
So hopefully, this is Chuck and I were talking. I said, so I am hopeful. Initially, I was afraid that there would just be like talk. But I think you're absolutely right, Brian, that Trump is, he has a plan and he has a strategy to fight this. Now, a lot of it, unfortunately, depends on the courts. And so we'll see. And then is it enough to make a difference? No, I'm going to submit. Of course, it's enough to make a difference. Otherwise, the Democrats wouldn't have bothered cheating. They, like you said, they had to stop the counting so they could have time to figure out what they needed to do.
And if there was no fraud, the Democrats and the media should welcome an investigation.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
If Trump is barking at the moon talking about fraud, why don't they embarrass him?
Exactly.
Yeah. Investigate all you want. That's like Trump did with Russian collusion. It's like, go ahead. He gave access, the entire White House staff, Mueller had access to everybody, documents, people, said, have at it. There's nothing there. You can look all you want. You won't find anything.
Right.
But you will be able to indict a lot of innocent people.
Well, sure. That's process crimes, but.
Here's my concern, and let me get your thoughts on this, that if the Democrats get away with this, and I think there's a significant chance that they will with all the cheating, I don't know how we ever have an election again. I don't know how you ever elect, I mean, another Republican for anything. It's just going to be, to me, I agree with Tucker Carlson, you know, when he says this is a major issue that we got to resolve. I mean, how do you go around having a democracy when one side just blatantly, openly, totally cheats, and then the other side doesn't believe anything anyway?
This is my problem.
Well, let me answer that.
Well, okay, but you don't
understand. You're not letting me answer.
You don't understand, Julie. Ever since the Democratic Party and the Republican Party started fighting each other, the Democratic Party has lied, cheated, and stole. They had the 11 states of the former Confederacy, where when black voters were Republicans, where they disenfranchised virtually every black voter for decade after decade. It only changed when those voters became Democrat. You had cities like New York and Denver in early part of the 20th century, New York, Kansas City, Chicago, Boston, utter corruption. Democrats have been at the corruption game there almost since.
That's why they're so good at it.
And Republicans are always, until they finally got to Trump, were always go, oh, well, you know, oh, well, I guess all the blacks were disfranchised. That's unfortunate. Huh? What do you know?
No, this has been going on a long time. When Nixon lost to Kennedy because of funny stuff in Chicago, he just sucked it up and, you know, gave a concession speech for the good of the country and moved on. Look at Al Franken in Minnesota. Yeah. Look at Mitt Romney. You think Mitt Romney legitimately lost? Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe he did win. Maybe there were a few states flipped. Maybe this program scorecard flipped votes from Romney to Obama.
Yeah.
And
it could be.
A couple of states, and, you know, Romney's Mr. Gracious and gives a concession speech. Mm. Well, he could have had it stolen from him. McCain, who knows? We just don't know.
Well, I guess you're right. And Trump has been finally, like in many ways, I think with Donald Trump, is he said stuff that everybody's been afraid to say and everybody's kind of fought but didn't say out loud. Now he's saying it out loud. So what do you think, how do you see this playing out if Biden wins?
Well, I'm not ready to even
accept that premise. Okay.
But I think Trump has a golden opportunity to expose this electoral fraud. This is deep. This is longstanding, and this
systematic.
Get some light on it.
Yeah.
And if he can blow that up and get new standards put in, that would be a huge accomplishment.
Yes. Well, if he could have hundreds of people in jail for voter fraud.
Well, there you go.
Then next time. And I never go, oh, what difference does it make? We'll never get punished for it.
Well, you see periodically, you know, somebody's indicted or pleads guilty.
Oh, one person, yeah. One. But,
yeah, some poor social worker in Texas. You look at the mugshot, and I'm kind of like, she doesn't look to me like he'd be an election fraud mastermind.
We'll see what the DOJ does. They've done nothing on Spygate, so I'm hoping they do something on this. But you're right, putting people in jail for 20 years for rigging an election – that will give pause to others that want to do that.
Right. Well, and hopefully the Republicans wake up and do fight back because, you know, I was saying to Chuck, it's like, okay, if you're any Republican candidate out there, if the Democrats are allowed to get away with it with Trump at this level, then they're not going to, like you say, they've been doing it for a long time. They're going to keep doing it. I mean, it behooves anyone who's, you know, not a Democrat corrupt candidate to look into this.
Well, let me give you an example of why Republicans always lose and deserve to lose. Georgia, right now, the two seats, January 5th runoff. It is, let's assume that it was a fair election. The Republicans would be significant favorites. So you could go either way, but they'd be significant favorites. And because of that, people like Andrew Yang and others in the Democratic Party said, well, people just moved to Georgia.
Well, we were joking when he said it, but the Democrats aren't joking when they do it.
But the answer to that is not to go running to a court and say, you know, argue the whether a person can temporarily change its domicile with an intent to move back and how do you improve the intent and all that. The answer is to start moving tens of thousands of Republicans over to do it. And until you do that, instead of you always playing defense,
you need to cheat as well as they do.
And I promise you, if Republicans move tens of thousands of people into Georgia to vote,
they would want
the courts will find it illegal. But until then, it's 50-50. The court's going to go, I don't know, maybe they're
regular Georgia. Maybe then at that point.
Ron DeSantis down below in Florida should be
doing
busloads.
Yes.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's when they'll get rid. I mean, you got to ask yourself, why do Democrats want same-day voter registration? Why do the Democrats, like our Secretary of State, get rid of the interstate compact where they can compare voter rolls from state to state? And if you change your registration, you're dropping the one.
But you got
there's a reason that they don't want any of that.
At some point, you got to fight fire with fire. You've got to take questionable tactics and adopt them to expose them.
Get better.
Yeah, well, Trump is the only one coming close to that.
Yes, you're right.
You know, imagine you go back 4 years, Trump's the only one that would have beaten Hillary Clinton. But say for hypothetical, John Kasich or Marco Rubio.
Oh, God.
If they were running for re-election and this happened, they'd have given their concession speech Wednesday morning.
Well, and you know why they would?
Tuesday
because
night.
None of them, this is where I go back to why Trump is so important, because none of them actually care about us. They will be making just as much money without having to have the hassle of being president. I mean, these are people who use politics like Joe Biden to enrich themselves.
Like Cory Gardner.
I mean, so they don't care if they don't win. Trump actually cares about people. He's not doing it to get rich. And I think that becomes a big problem too. The Biden, he's the epitome of the swamp. But Brian, that's exactly right. That's where they give concession speeches. They're like, well, I don't care, really.
Republicans are very happy to be in the minority. Look at House Republicans for how many decades before Newt Gingrich came along and his contract with America and Republicans.
1952 was the last time the Republicans that had the House up until 1994. And the head of the whole thing, I think his name is Michaels, But he was very happy in the minority. They just never raised a problem. They never raised it.
Well, they just collect money from the lobbyists and consultants.
And Newt Gingrich blew the place up. He said, "No, we're not just going to play along." And it was 42 years.
Republicans are happy to lose, and Colorado exemplifies that.
Yes.
Look how many failed candidates they've put up for election in the past 10, 15 years. Poor quality candidates that run poor campaigns. They don't have infrastructure. They're not playing the same game. They're playing softball, and the Democrats are playing hardball.
But look at what happens when
we're playing water balloons.
Look what happens when Republicans have somebody who fights like Patrick Neville,
who articulates
a Republican philosophy on radio, on our show, but on lots of other shows all across the state, and helped in so many different ways. What did the Republican Party do? They got money from Clinton supporters, Catherine Murdoch, millions put into three races up in Weld County to elect, and one in Jefferson to elect really rhinos. And then they marched down to the Capitol, and now we've got Hugh McClain. And Hugh McClain will kind of go, can't we all get together? Can't we all just work?
But Jeff, you don't want to talk about Colorado politics. It's too depressing.
Okay, no more Colorado politics.
Well, anyway, so Brian, I was, you know, like I said, I was depressed, but then I started looking into it and I'm like, wait, no, these are legitimate claims of fraud. These are people with affidavits. These are people with videotapes. These are, and I gotta hope that the Trump people had spies at Dominion. You know, I think you can't count on people to come forward necessarily afterwards. You have to have had.
Rudy said he's got a whistleblower from Dominion. So, you know, I take him at his word, but I'm sure there'll be people speaking up against this. And again, Trump was prepared for this. He knew this was happening. This was not a surprise. He's been talking about this. And the Democrats have been telegraphing what they're going to do. So if he doesn't have this gamed out, I'd be very surprised. Is that a guarantee that he's going to win? No, of course not. But it's you look at his track record, and when faced with these types of things, he doesn't lose.
Well, right.
That's why I'm cautiously optimistic.
Here's another good thing. I mean, normally the way it works is you have all the false draw before election, and then you have the election, and then all of the neutral arbiters declare who the winner is. And after that, everybody's so exhausted that whatever dirty things were there,
they just move on.
They just move on. And so that is what they wanted. That's what
they're putting the names of all the people who didn't congratulate Biden.
Exactly. All the Neil Cavutos and the Susan Smiths and the Chris Wallaces. They wanted to have this just sweep over the country. And one of the reasons it hasn't swept over, because the Republicans, other than Colorado, did incredibly well.
Yes.
So they won lots of races, and they've taken lots they will control lots of legislatures and everything else. And those people are not feeling, oh God, I'm a loser. Forget it. Let's just move on. And so this initial effort, and it's a key one.
They're not no blue
just
wave.
Just to quash us, just to make sure we shut up in our depression, has failed. You can tell. Julie is feeling more optimistic and everything. And I think.
And you've come out of your funk.
And I've come out of my funk just in time for the Masters. But I think their initial, which is their most important one, just push them so everybody go, oh, okay, on to the next race. I think that Georgia January 5th runoff is going to re-energize everybody again, and that will cause people to look at the court proceedings, refuse to allow Fox News to rig
tell
it.
Tell them,
Well, Fox News has shot themselves in the foot. Their ratings are below CNN and MSNBC.
Yes,
and I don't think that's going to recover anytime soon.
No, but I agree.
People have just turned them off and found alternate networks.
Right.
But Trump is also flushing out who's a supporter and who's a fair weather friend. He's going to look at the leaders, world leaders that are, you know, can't wait to congratulate Biden, and those that are holding back, President of Mexico, President of Brazil, Putin, other people are not so quick. But, right. You know, France, Germany, UK, they're tripping over themselves to congratulate Biden. He'll find out who's...
Yeah, you better. It's one
who
of those
friends are and who isn't. It's like
if you're
going to
shoot at the king,
well, your own move.
Hey, let me ask a couple more final questions for you, from me at least. Are you working on anything else? I've always read your stuff in American Thinker, and then it's not till Monday that you take over our show. You take over our show, so you fill in for us. You take over our show.
I take it over. Don't worry.
What kinds of things are you working on?
Well, I had something on Monday in American Thinker about. The Democrats making lists.
Yes. Yes.
And there are a number of them that have talked about it. And it's the theme I used was the coming purge.
Yep.
Reminiscent of Stalin's purge, where he got rid of all his political opponents. And you have people like David Plouffe, who's Obama's campaign manager, to AOC, to Evan McMullen, to this Trump Accountability Project, Jennifer Rubin, and all these people talking about lists. They're making a list, and they're going to check it twice, find out who's naughty and nice. You guys will be on the list. I'll be on the list. A lot of people that George Brockler will be on the list. Randy will be. Boyles will be. Everybody will be on that list. And they're going to try to have a reckoning of those that supported Trump.
Well, the trouble is
there's 70 million of them.
Well, they didn't do well enough otherwise. Their problem is that you can't have a list if you don't control the Senate. You can't have a list. You're about to lose the House. You can't have a list. The lists are only when you get to trounce the other side and hang the
traitor. You can have if Biden's in the White House, they can sick the IRS and other agencies.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you get an audit, or your business has. Some issue and getting fines and regulations and whatnot.
Lois Lerner.
Yeah.
Lois Lerner. Exactly. It's not a Soviet Union gulag, but it's what I call an administrative gulag.
They
can tie you up and destroy your business and livelihood so easily.
Yeah.
And they're telegraphing it. It's not conspiracy theory that I'm divining what AOC thinks. She's tweeting about it. These people are tweeting about lists of Trump supporters, people that campaigned for him, that worked for him. They want a list. They want accountability. They're saying it.
Right. No, it's a cancel culture.
If you ignore that, you're foolish. It's like talking about the mail-in ballots and everything they're going to do. They talked about it. Bernie gave an interview before the election, talked about, they're going to declare or they're not declare. Trump will appear to be the winner on election night, and the next day the mail-in ballots are going to come in and we're going to see it flip. Right. And then Trump won't concede. And then we'll have to send people in. And you see John Brennan tweeting about that.
Right.
Right.
So they telegraph what they do, and we're foolish not to listen to them.
Yeah.
Not saying, this is the ravings of AOC and some liberal journalists. No, this is they're telling us.
This is their strategy.
Very clear. To their base, to their supporters, they're telling them. And if we don't heed that, that's on
us. But how do you heed that? In what sense do you heed that? What action do you take?
Well, you keep speaking up.
You fight like hell to keep Biden out of the White House, and the Trump gets this.
Exactly. That solves all their problems.
I mean, you and I, there's a limit what we can do, but certainly don't give up. You've got the courts, and then you've got state legislatures. That's who certifies electors.
You're right.
It's such a mess that they can't figure out, then the state legislature has the constitutional power to pick a slate of electors.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they do that and they say, we've looked at it and we think there's been enough fraud and we're going to go by what was happening on election night, where Trump was comfortably ahead in Pennsylvania. So it's our decision that we're going to nominate a slate of electors that are going to vote for Trump.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. There we go.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Hi, Brian.
And worst case, they don't. Then it goes down to, if nobody has 270, it goes to the House. One vote per state.
Yeah.
And Republicans control that. So I think there are a lot of avenues, but my feeling is Trump really wants to expose this. And he's looking at big change. He's looking at being a disruptive force. And this has been going on for decades, this election corruption. Every other country in the world can have an election, and by midnight they know who's won.
Right.
They know within hours. Well, I mean, why go to Britain, UK, have an election?
Because you don't have all this stuff coming in.
They know within about an hour of the election and France the same way, because I follow the election.
The next day, you have somebody moving into.
Yeah.
not a 2.5 month transition. That's nonsense. We don't need that.
All right, Brian. Hey, thank you for your time
today. Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody. We'll see you on Friday or on Monday, rather.
Monday,
when you take over our show.
Thanks,
Brian Dundeb.
Thank you, Brian.
Hi, guys.
Hey, I want to remind folks to check out ColoradoCitizenPress.com. And I also want to, we were talking about Parler. Because we're on Twitter at Chuck and Julie One, but we're also on Parler, which is so easy, at Chuck and Julie. So if you go to parler.com, it's at Chuck and Julie. And also now you can get everything at chuckandjulie.com, which is our website, all of the podcasts. You can listen live there. But also now we have a Podbean account, and it's the Chuck and Julie Show.podbean.com. So you can, some people have said, hey, I don't know why. They don't want to see us, Chuck. They just want to hear us. And so, no, exactly. So they can, so you can just hear us. It's the Chuck and Julie Show. Podbean.com. Thank you to the folks at BBS. Thank you to George. Thank you to Brian Dundeb. Thank you to everybody listening on Zoom.
And keep your spirits up. We're gonna prevail in the end.
Oh, there you go. Mr. Optimism.
There you go.
See you Friday.
Bye-bye.